There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
This is Kate Magruder for Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. About 50 years ago, hundreds of mostly white, mostly college-educated, mostly privileged young men and women, often called hippies, streamed into the hills and valleys of this county in search of a place to forge a new kind of community. For the past many months, my colleagues at KZYX, Sarah Reith and Alice Woofley, and I have been interviewing people to discover why they came, what they did, how it affected them, and how it might have changed this place we call home. The following half hour or so is an interview I did with the inimitable David Raitt, a New England transplant who crossed the country with his sawmill and his friend Mark Hansen. Their band, Hansen and Raitt, provided the soundtrack to the early landscape of our county's Back to the Land experience.
The story goes something like this.
I am David Raitt. I was born in New York City in 1952. What shaped me? Of course, my father, John Raitt, Broadway actor, Oklahoma Carousel, singing in our home with my mother, Marge. I mean, we had Bing Crosby sing White Christmas at our Christmas. We were one of the seven hills of Beverly Hills. I mean, that shaped my whole beginnings as a young child growing up in a household that had that kind of energy. My dad was the Chevy man, the Chevy show. Buy a Chevrolet, cross the USA with Dinah Shore. And he segued into that, into, you know, being Annie Get Your Gun with Mary Martin and, Doris Day, the pajama game. I mean, my dad was bigger than life. Probably the biggest influence of anyone in my life was my father. Second to that would be Bill Copperthwaite. He was a math teacher who said, you know, I think I want to go out for a doctorate in education, but I think I want to do it with high school kids. His determination was to work with this Quaker school, this new high school, experimental high school called the Study Travel Community School. So I dropped out of school to formal school to join this group, and my parents bought it, which was amazing. I didn't think my mom was going to buy it. I was like 16. Learned how to build these round houses called yurts that Bill Copperthwaite, not the fabric ones you guys all think about, but actually slant wall, board on board. His influence on me was immeasurable for design, imagineering, even though that's not a word, but it was it really does speak to what that is, imagineering. Think about it, you know, you imagine something and you engineer it and you figure out how to make it work. Well, Bill Copperthwaite was a master at this. Mark Hansen, I met at this school. I was reading a Mother Earth News article in the Mother Earth newspaper magazine. And I was back east with Mark Hansen, and we were going, you know, the winters here are pretty brutal. 30 cords of firewood sucks every year. And we had 13 yurts with our little experimental high school. And I said, why don't we move in 1971? Let's move to the West Coast. I found this property in the Mother Earth News that was listed by a woman, I thought was a man, named Anand Forrest. And all I could see was this naked picture of this person with long hair from the back. So I didn't see her breasts. I thought it was a guy naked, looking, you know, waving with a halo and the mountains of Potter Valley. And she had this 40-acre piece Bill Wheeler was selling and she was an agent for. And we ended up buying that piece of property with money that we had saved up from selling our used yurts, including sod on the roof to all these people back east. And then we drove a cold caravan across the country in 71 and ended up in Mendocino County. And in any event, we bought this piece of property as a group, and we called it the Yurt People, and we put it in the name of the Yurt People's Church. This whole deal brought me here. I mean, I literally came here on a promise of a better life near the living on the border of the Mendocino National Forest, had a sawmill, put together this Yurt People. Well, I was up there for a few years, and we got popped, and we went and got legalized with Class K. I had my sawmill up there that I had brought down from Oregon. I had a big head rig there, which is kind of interesting because a lot of the right-wing people here that were at the time weren't really prepared to see a hippie sawmill guy come into the neighborhood. But I milled a lot of wood, did a lot of lumber trades. So you'd bring in five logs, and I'd give you back two and a half. and I would cut the other into wood and barter with people. At one point, Susan Pepperwood, who's a local doctor here and a therapist, and Eric Larson was our He was one of the political guys here. He was like mayor or something. They came over and actually to Potter Valley and said, you know, we need to have somebody like you and your energy over in Greenfield Ranch on the other side of the freeway, you know, on the west side. Why don't you come over and bring your sawmill? And we hooked up with a whole bunch of people and we set up the Utter Truth Dairy and Lumber Company in Greenfield Ranch. And we set up a commune up there. We bartered milk that we had two cows, Hannah and Martha, that with people on Honda 90s. We traded for eggs, and I traded millwork, and Bob Dress traded woodworking skills. We had a shop up the creek. We broke down this log jam that was up there with the state. We were able to log in the log jam and clear it out, and I would mill all those wood, all that lumber through my mill, put a flying windshield so I wouldn't get killed by the rocks while I was milling the lumber. Annie was pulling green chain in her panties and sweaty brow and a blue denim shirt. You can see her right now. And these big slabs coming off the end of this thing up creek, and I'm running this thing with a diesel tractor with a water drip, milling and trading lumber. And we had a huge garden. We recycled the old Pomolitas High School. We all came down in and took a contract with Jose Luciantis and a couple of different people, and they got it. All of us hippies came down with my winch and all the hippies from the hills, different places. We all convened for one of the first amazing projects in Ukiah history, and we took the entire, one of the largest wood structures down, huge timbers, you know, 2x22 fir pieces that were like, you know, I-beams and maple flooring. I remember going into a classroom there and throwing a crowbar through the clock. I've always wanted to do that. And I pulled the whole top floor down with my winch. We evacuated the building, kicked all the boards down. When we were done, the salvage guy thought he was going to come and get all this stuff. There was nothing left but nails. All the Mendocino people, I mean, everybody, and your mother, and all the famous Mendo men and women who have taken all this lumber and have built their homes, including back at Utter Truth. And it all started with Jose, really. Jose's the one that got it all going. Took the big risk as a contractor to have all these unlicensed people. Lori Leaf was topless with her coveralls, you know, and with hard hat on. If you could just imagine that in the middle of Ukiah. The people here didn't have a clue what was going on. There's like this invasion of really educated people coming in and actually salvaging their old high school and turning it into incredible. And in Ridgewood Ranch, we built, came down and did a whole thing with Baldy. At Ridgewood Ranch, the Church of the Golden Rule, we went and did a trade. They needed help fixing up their old barn, which now is the Seabiscuit world famous tourist attraction. They needed help with getting some of that done. We traded for labor. Baldy couldn't believe it. We came down and took all this glass, greenhouse glass, and framing for that, and traded for cleaning up their scene down there, and went back into the hills and made greenhouses and windows for our homes. These kinds of projects were felt by the local people. There's no question about it. They just like, what the heck? I mean, we were making a dent here right in town. I did have encounters with some people. There were several of them. We were on the Citizen Advisory Committee to rewrite the general plan for Mendocino County, because Mendocino County was being sued for lack of a plan because there was a lot of rampant development going on. So I was on that. I was honored to be on that committee with, you know, Michael Nolan and Dan Hamburg, several other people. But on the other side of the column was John Mayfield. And, you know, Alex Thomas, a lot of people on the conservative side, the old guard here, they were asking, you know, questions, you know, like they were even asking us, why do we move up here? And we said, well, because we love the land. We like the reverence for the soil, the redwoods, you know, and we just don't want to see it wrecked. And a lot of my confrontations with locals up here, where they asked, why are we here? What are we doing? My answers was, you know, we're here. Maybe we're new immigrants. You know, we haven't been here 30 years yet. Now, of course, we've been here for 40 years, and it's our turn. But even in the beginning, it was a little bit of an invasion. Between the Rajneesh people walking the streets and the werewolf of Talmadge, James, with his big ghetto blaster doing the rap, and being kind of a homeless guy, but with a ghetto blaster with batteries, and seeing everybody's reaction to all of us, the orange people, James, the Hanson and Raitt band, all the cool, you know, it's just amazing to me, you know, the whole thing. Rootstock winning the Bammies, and people just having to deal with and cope with all of us, almost like a force feeding. The people here in Ukiah that lived here before, they didn't have a choice. They couldn't just say, go away. They couldn't say, we don't want you here. You know, leave, you know, live over there. We literally have just infested this area with goodness and harmony and culture and the likes that they had never seen before. You know, I mean, at all levels, cultural, food, way to think, way to use the resources here. And it's like, you know, we came in fearless. We didn't care. We just wanted to have a better life here and wanted to keep this wonderful place going, sustainable, and not see it all just get blown out. Well, initially, United Stand was to come up with a solution, not just a combative one-shot deal, but a solution for sustainability where people could come here and build their own house with their own materials that they salvaged from, like I was telling you, from either milled themselves or salvaged from the Ukiah High School, and build whatever the heck they wanted back in their land, as long as they weren't affecting and hurting people downstream or nearby, creating more of a fire hazard, all that stuff. And we needed an ordinance because the existing building code did not cover that. An ordinance or a new code classification. And by after being busted in, up in the mountains, up in Powder Valley for living in roundhouses or in our own creative, interesting looking houses that we did, not just round, every kind of house, underground, sod covered, timber framed, whatever. We had a lot of support. We were able to rally benefits through the power of music and plays and being on radio, being on KZYX. We ended up securing a spot in the California Building Code called Class K. It wasn't easy, but you know, we stuck it out and we set up an office in the Palace, but was the Palace Hotel back then, had leased out some of their rooms. We had an office up there for United Stand. And we stood up too. We went and petitioned in Sacramento. There was a lot of confrontation between the us and thems, we called it, because John Pateros was a great communicator, Eric Idarius, a great communicator, Non Forrest and Saul Crimsley, unbelievable communicators. We could go places and do presentations to the supervisors in various counties, as well as to the governor itself. And fortunately, Jerry Brown was our governor at that time, first round, and he hosted us sitting on the floor in his alternative governor's mansion, because he's a Zen guy, no family, and we go in there, we're sitting on the floor, nothing on the walls, talking about this new building classification, and he bought it. He says, yeah, let's do it. There's where it turned. That classification has endured and sustained and allowed people, I mean, that's 30 years ago, 40, to be able to build creatively in California. And the way it works is you get a Class K permit, you don't have to go through the rigmarole of too much engineering and inspections. You have an inspection one time at the end. You don't even have one in the beginning. You build your house however long it takes you to build it. And when you're done, they come and inspect the electrical, the plumbing, and making sure that you're not pooping in the creek. But that's all allowed with one inspection at the end of the process, which is way easier. Gives you incredible latitude of what you can build. And that's United Stand is when we stood up and made that happen, and it's happening. We had an opportunity to, one of the local professors here in town, the Reverend Jay Holden, wrote, he heard the Hanson and Raitt band singing Goat Rib Bones and French Fries, and said, you know, you guys are nuts. I'm going to write a song about the building code wars. He put together a poetry that he didn't really write it initially as a song, as lyrics, but it was Mark Hansen and I were able to turn it into this. The house inspector told me I got to tear my dwelling down. Unemployment service said there ain't no jobs around. My schooling seems so useless. Sometimes I feel just like a bum. Can't afford to drive my truck and the Cadillac fans my thumb. But it's so beautiful here. Valley fog and Mountain Dew. Wondering what we're going to do about the Mendocino County blues. And the second verse, it goes into kind of a funk Mendo boogie deal. Now I know how to make things grow. Know how to share. I know now how not to poison the water and the air. My brothers and my sisters lend a helping hand. And in Mendocino County now, yeah. We're gonna teach the man the plan. 'Cause it's so beautiful here, Valley Fog and Mountain Dew. Wonder what we're gonna do about the Mendocino County Blues. And the rest is history. And to me, people have, as I said, the force feeding, all the efforts on coming at them from bringing culture to the old Catholic Church, converting to children's theater, Ukiah players converting and building and raising funds and bringing culture to original plays as well as existing plays. All of that coming at all these different directions. And then the college, the Mendocino Junior College, coming to what it is now, which is a really renowned college. It's really well known now. All of that is all a part of this, what originally was an invasion from us outsiders. We just never went away. I mean, I've tried to move away from here for many, many years. I still have my business here. I'm probably one of the last of the Mohican manufacturers that have been here from get-go, when manufacturing is basically dying in this country. I'm still building my round houses here. I think that the staying power of all the people, the actual persistence, the perseverance furthers, is it made a huge dent and impact on, and everybody, basically the old guard, for whatever reasons. I mean, if they're not doing Pilates and eating vegan, they're probably dead. You know, the ones that are still around that have good genes and everything else, they've accepted us. We're here. And their kids are here. And everybody's kind of putting it together. So our highlights of our musical career, what was the... One was Roger Perry invited us to play, the Hanson and Raitt Band, invited us to play at his real estate, annual real estate party. And if you've ever been to a real estate party, they like to drink. And Roger was no exception to this. And all these people were in this room and they hired Mark Hanson and David Raitt. Roger still has this video of us singing Who Is Your Guru? And doing an ensemble line with all these drunk realtors around this table in their conference room. Talk about a time that, to remember. Hoop-dee-doo-oh, who is your guru? Who is your guru? First verse. Mayor Baba Ashrams or Jesus Freak Communes. You better find your holy bag because the end is coming soon. Tell me. And you get everybody to go, ooh, ooh, while we're singing, you know, hoop-dee-doo-oh, who is your guru? Who is your guru? Ups and downs, acid grass, you gotta be OD'd. Does Excedrin and or Buffering help you to be freed? Tell me. And remember, ooh, hoop-dee-doo-oh, who is your guru? Who is your guru? And then it goes into the night. And imagine he's walking around this conga line with these drunk realtors. And then it's on in video. Roger, you got to get that to me. And the third verse is a pretty good one. It goes, are you a holy roller or a rock and roll queen? Does your health food formula give you cosmic dreams? Tell me. And, you know, Mark wrote lyrics over the years about GMOs and about all this stuff. And that became one of the highlights of our shows. We'd come out without any band and sing it in front, clapping and get the audience to participate. That was our audience participate. And we had Rajneesh people here. We had my sister, the rock and roll queen. That was one. Another one was being at the Ukiah Conference Center with John Raitt. An evening with my dad. And I was so stoked. I had all my kids there. And this was, I come out on stage. I'm so excited. I didn't know what to do but do a headstand before the show in front of everybody. It was like a stupid thing to do, really. But I could. I was just so excited. I didn't know what to do. So I stood on my head. My dad comes out and just kills it with all these, you know, shows, Carousel, you know, Hey There, you know. All the songs, you know, My Boy Bill, you know, every song one after the other, just boom, 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 hammering. People are going nuts. Then he brings the family out, my sister, my brother, my kids. You know, I can see it as it was yesterday in front of this Ukiah crowd singing my dad's songs with him. I have to tell you, the Mendocino Shuffle here in the county and the regurgitation of couples that sometimes get back together but also move around a bit in the interim. And sometimes just shift. Yeah, shift happens. I see that I've seen a lot of, and know a lot of people who have just mixed it up a bit and have it be actually better than it was. I mean, the negative for me here with this crowd doesn't seem to really exist because people tend to take this as opportunities and just move on. God, you know, I mean, there's been, obviously when people die, that sucks. I think the biggest thing that happened for me was coming into the battleground. I always felt when I came into Ukiah, I mean, I could have lived another groovy places like Santa Cruz or Sausalito or where everybody's just groovy. Something about people have called me and accused me of being a drama inducer. Like when there's no drama, I just like to induce drama. I mean, why is that? I don't know what that is about me, but I do it with my jobs. I do it a lot of times. But that may be the same thing that attracted me to this area. I like coming in here and seeing the other side and trying to figure out a way to get into their heads and being exposed and being transparent to my head and just going there and just seeing what happens and just be pretty fearless, really, that this was the place. Everybody who's listening to this, who lives here, knows that we've had left and right coexisting, I believe, more than any other place on the planet, way more than Benbow or Oregon. I don't know any other towns that have the DMZ. We're the demilitarized zone of cross-cultural collision made good. And why I stay here. And it's still going on. There's still the us and thems here, but it's a little different now. It seems to be a lot easier and friendlier, but I think my original attraction was I was drawn to this area because I like drama. It's pretty cool to be in a like-minded group of people that are willing to be in the DMZ, to be on the front lines of this kind of hotbed of activity. And it is apolitical at some point. You know, everybody likes to have property rights. Everybody likes to protect the environment. It's a very conservative idea, right? Everybody wants to be able to do whatever they want on their own land, but they also want to be cultured and they're not afraid to be laughed at and have a really good musical satire. It's not, you know, you go to certain places in the country where they only want to have traditional art. The only culture they want to have there is the traditional. So they don't want anything that's too controversial. This community thrives on controversial entertainment and art. And I like that about this area. I'm drawn to this area because of that. What is the use of examining the particular history of the Back to Land era? The lessons to be learned from the experimentation and the things that we did that hadn't really been done before in rural communities. I don't think before the 60s too many people were. I mean, I have to say, with the exception of Church of the Golden Rule, those guys were on it right after World War II. They were doing collectivism. They were doing communal dynamics with resources. So we weren't like the ones that can take credit for that 100%, because there were people like that out there. Baldy and the likes. Unbelievable. But our group has affected a lot of people. When I say our group, that's all the people that have basically moved to this county since the late 60s. The hipsters, Haight-Ashbury, people moving north, hippiedom, counterculture, alternative living. The lessons to be learned from that are many, and I think that the reason why this is important to understand the process. I mean, we were the pioneers of the alternative, which is no longer alternative. Now it's actually becoming mainstream. And how does that happen? It's happening all around you. You know, you go to Costco, it just happened in this town. I mean, one third of the entire store now is organic. Well, that happened because people started thinking maybe that's important. And I think I'd like to think that we had a hand in that over the years. All the wonderful courses that are happening in the college, course studies that are happening now are alternative. I'm in sustainable design, San Francisco State. I was a 10th grade high school dropout. And I'm re-enrolled in a master's program at San Francisco State for sustainable design. I mean, that's amazing. I'm doing it without a high school diploma. And I was able to do my whole life this way, right? And it's not to say that you shouldn't get a high school diploma, but, you know, the world is open to us for all these things. You need to listen to these kind of stories and decide for yourself how you want to proceed with your life.
You've been listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land Oral Histories of Mendocino County. We just heard from David Raitt. Tune in next week when we talk with Jay Holden, who wrote the lyrics to the song that became known as the anthem of the United Stand Movement.
Here, it's one of our old anthems, the Mendocino County Blues. It was sort of our anthem 30 years ago.
Story goes something like this. There was a time when I was young, I tried to beat the man. I did just what I wanted, and I end up in the can. Now I see the light now, my fighting days are far behind. I ain't looking for no trouble, I just want some peace of mind. But it's so beautiful here. I met the spirit in the hills. Trout are spawning out of streams by a field of daffodils.
Wow, it's such a nice dream. It's so beautiful here. I met the spirit in the hills. Redwoods growing out of stump. Later nature's plan revealed. And it's a good plan. We gotta teach the man the plan. That's right. We gotta make a united stand. United stand again.
Not again.
We gotta teach the man the plan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We gotta make a united stand again. Tell him, teach him, come on, baby. I tried to run the county without a general plan, and it was like trying to run the boogie without a boogeyman. Oh no, GMO. Oh no, GMO. Not down in Mendocino. Oh no, GMO. We gotta teach the man the plan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We gotta make a united stand again.
Not again. Look out now.
I hear that helicopter's coming. Wah, wah. Helicopter's coming. They want to take my medicine down. Unemployment service said there ain't no jobs around. My schooling seems so useless, sometimes I feel just like a bum. I can't afford to drive my truck, and the Cadillac fans my thumb. But it's so beautiful here, valley fog and mountain views. Now I know I got a cure for the Mendocino County
Promise of Paradise is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities, California Humanities, the Arts Council of Mendocino County, the Judy Pruden Historical Preservation Fund of the Community Foundation of Mendocino County, the Mendocino Institute, and Grace Hudson Museum.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.